Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, good morning. How are you? Today is, what's today? June 24th, 2022, 8:45 in the morning on a Friday here on the East Coast. Hope everybody's having a great day so far. A little early to title it as a great day, but, you know, hopefully everything's working out so far. So how's it going? I haven't, trying to do this podcast a couple days a week if I can, if something's going on, and not much is going on. So, you know, that's when I should really try to do this podcast, because either I've fooled myself into denial, or life is just that good. And the reality is, life is just that good. It's pretty cool. I was watching, big fan of Pat McAfee, has a show on YouTube, and I think he's on Sirius. But he posted this thing yesterday about, I don't know what it was. It was a tweet, right? I'm not a big person that, I don't tweet. I can't handle tweeting. But somebody had posted a tweet about him at the end of his career, and his response was, "It'll all work out. It has to," right? And I guess, you know, I like that. You know, it's kind of that same, you know, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it should all work out. And then I'm like, well, isn't that kind of the same thing? And I kind of thought about it, and it's almost really not, right? Because the "I'm not smoking crack" phrase is really a reminder of me that, hey, man, as long as I'm sober, you know, and I would imagine that, you know, those two things pretty much are like the sort of the peak of the mountain as far as like using. And as long as I'm not at the peak of the mountain, I should be fine. And, you know, and it is a great reminder, because I spent so much of my early life or my middle life, you know, under the influence of something. If it wasn't drugs, alcohol, then I was under the influence of me. Me first, and then the alcohol and the drugs. And, you know, these little reminders, you know, like that one, like, listen, man, as long as you're not using, you can do anything you want. But I think what I liked about Pat's is that it's going to all work out regardless. And almost like saying, hey, I might need to adjust my goals or what I think is going to be the outcome, because there's going to be an outcome whether I like it or I don't like it, whether I've surrendered to it or if I haven't surrendered to it. And, you know, it's just, you know, everybody out there is trying to be positive. Everybody out there is trying to, you know, take the high road. And, you know, I don't know if it's from the pandemic or what, just social media, or we're able to watch everybody do a lot of stuff, but it just feels like there's this, you know, at least the stuff I'm watching, there's a general idea that trying to just listen, it'll all work out, you know? And I do like that philosophy. I know that for me, though, as long as I'm sober, it'll all work out. If I'm going to use, I might as well surrender the idea that it's going to work out well, because usually in my case it does not. But yeah, that was kind of funny. I'm always looking at stuff like that. I wanted to read, I liked reading that, what was it? It's Just for Today. So I thought I'd read that real quick. And it's a little long, but I'm going to try to read it real fast. Here we go. So June 24, 2022. The title is Tolerance, page 182. Ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. All right, here we go. Sometimes it's hard to accept others' character defects. As we recover together, we not only listen to others talk in meetings, we also watch how they walk through their recovery. The more we get to know other members, the more we become aware of how they live their lives. We may form opinions about how they work their program. We may find their certain members upset us, or we may even hear ourselves say, if I worked their program, I would surely use. We have found tolerance to be a principle that not only strengthens our own recovery, but also our relationships with individuals who are a source of irritation to us. It becomes easier to accept other members' frailties when we remember that ourselves rarely turn over our own character defects until we become painfully aware of them. That's good. Just for today, I will strive to accept others as they are. I will try not to judge others. And I will focus on the principles of love and acceptance. I like that. I don't know what you do. If there's somebody out there listening, I don't know what you do. I know for me, I work in a hair salon. And my world is based on relationships. You know, I've always, my wife and I laugh about this because, you know, we're people pleasers. You know, we'll ride the ship down just so that somebody's happy with us. And so, you know, early on in my career, I would say yes to anything, you know, just because I didn't want, one, I wanted to build my business, but at the same time, I also, you know, I like to receive praise. I like people to be happy with me. You know, I think it's just some early shit that for some reason it's the bag I grabbed, right? And so, but the program and life and getting sober and using and bouncing it around and chatting with many people of recovery, you know, I learned that there's something about being a people pleaser. There's something about trying to do things so that people like you. And it's hard. For me, it was a very hard habit to break. But when I did, after some time in sobriety, I realized that, you know, that it's not really benefiting me. So I've tried to be aware of it. But in the business that I'm in, you have to please people, right? Because I'm in a business that if people aren't happy, there's no money to be made. And so it's all about tolerance for me. And I think that I learned that through this program, or at least being aware of it. You know, there are days, like just now, in fact, just coming to work today, I was not very tolerant. I was not tolerant of the people driving. I was very kind of emotional and very annoyed and, you know, privately in my car cussing out people, you know, which I would never do to their face, right? It's just this weird shit that takes place. But it wasn't very program-like and it wasn't very kind and it wasn't very tolerant. So it shows up in weird times, but you know, when this coming out of this pandemic, you know, for me at least, I had a new appreciation for my clientele, a new appreciation for the people that I rent from, a new appreciation for really everything that takes place in my life. You know, whether it's road construction, as annoying and inconvenient as it is. You know, I always try to wave. I always try to, you know, acknowledge the people standing out there. I mean, I can't. It's all I can do. I don't even have to do that. But, you know, I'd like to say thank you. I try to come at things from a different frame of mind, a more positive frame of mind. But I tell you, there's a lot of opinions out there. There's a lot of, you know, I felt like, you know, after the pandemic, it really kind of exposed a real... It seems like an underlying frustration with a lot of people. You know, we had I think I might have shared this the other day. There was a client that came in to see another person who had hurt themselves or somehow hurt their arm. They didn't, like, purposely hurt themselves, but they, you know, their arm was hurting. So this lady comes in, and she's like, you know, where is she? And I go, she tried to get a hold of you. And I think I said this in the podcast the other day, but the point was is that she wasn't tolerating it. She was not, and it was hard for me to tolerate her because of her, you know, I am very disappointed. And I'm like, you know, she hurt her arm. She's not like at the beach. She's injured. And this person's response was very not tolerant. You know, not thinking of others, not being considerate. And, you know, it was just weird. And it seems to kind of happen a lot with people. And, you know, a guy like myself who doesn't always tolerate that very well, one of the problems for me getting sober is I sort of like have a, you know, I almost put myself on a higher pedestal in my mind, you know, like, don't you know? Or I see what you're doing, right? Or whatever it is, that you kind of get a visual into kind of what's going on. And it reminds us, I think, at least for me, it reminds me a lot of how I used to be. So I'm always paying attention to it. But, you know, I'm trying to, with every, whether it's clientele, my coworkers, my friends, my kids, my wife, everybody, you know, I'm having to, and I think, you know, obviously we're having to tolerate each other. So, but I'm trying to be a little more patient. And, you know, it says, I will strive to accept others as they are. Right? I can't use myself as an example. I'm not a great example. But I will strive to accept others as they are, and I will try not to judge others. I didn't do very well so far this morning. I judged a lot of people on my way here. I will focus on the principles of love and acceptance. And I don't even know what that means, to be honest with you. I don't know the principles of love and acceptance. I know that if I practice being tolerant and having acceptance, maybe eventually love starts to show up. Think about, you know, these songs. I don't pick songs. I just play songs. And then these songs seem to, I sort of shape the song around kind of what's going on. And, you know, I love the idea of that, you know, for so long, as a person that was actively drinking and doing what I was doing and living that life of self, you know, it was a messy existence. And, you know, one of the coolest things I think about getting sober was just the real freedom. You know, it didn't mean I didn't have things I had to work on or deal with, but just knowing that I wasn't going to, you know, have any trouble that came, that was brought on from drinking and drugging. And that was a lot of trouble. Those were a lot of problems. So to have that removed, but, you know, that was this, you know, you can't go home. I mean, there was this, you know, like today, I can't really go back to that kind of behavior, this cussing out people, flipping people off, you know, this real gross self-centered life is what I was living. And I can't go back to it. You know, I can't behave that way. You know, I can't have a nice house and not take care of the yard. They come together. And, you know, bitching out people, not being tolerant is not taking care of my yard. And no matter how nice the house is, if the yard looks like shit, people are going to be like, this guy doesn't have it together. And, you know, so trying to figure out, you know, new ways of thinking and new ways of reminding myself that, hey, you know, this isn't how you live, you know. And the steps teach us that or have taught me that, you know, try to live a life more like in God's eyes or a God lifestyle. And, you know, taking care of the yard is more of a God lifestyle to me, which I think is very important. You know, one of the coolest things, you know, there's people in my life, there's a person in my life that's sober and has been getting sober, and, you know, I'm very proud of this person. And, you know, I remember early on sobriety, this moment where I kind of was like, who am I? Right? Who am I? What do I like? What is interesting? What do I not like? What is not interesting? Why do I do what it is that I do? You know, I started this podcast off talking about people pleasing. You know, there's many, many situations that I've done things because I wanted to appear like I am interested and I like doing what I'm doing. But the reality was is that I wanted to have approval from people. So I would say yes and do things for people with the idea that it looked good and that I was interested in what I was doing. But the reality was people pleasing. And, you know, so when I got sober and started to kind of settle in and work a program and, you know, make friends. And one of the cool things about meetings is if you try to go to meetings or you're going to meetings or you don't like going to meetings, for me, one of the greatest things about meetings was it started to put me around people that were all kind of doing the same thing. And it, you know, I shared early on, you know, just to shake hands and look at people in the eye and say thank you and you're welcome or welcome, how are you? My name is so-and-so, you know, welcome to the meeting. You know, just stepping out of this comfort zone, right? But, you know, looking back, I remember thinking, what is it? Who am I? What do I want to do? What am I interested in? What do I like? What do I not like? What have I started to like for the wrong reasons? You know, there was a slew of these things, BMX, the band Kiss. There was just a lot of different things that I liked, and I vocally said that I liked it out loud, but it was only just to impress a person. You know, my job at the golf course, I look back, and I kind of wore this robe of like, you know, look at me, I'm working hard. I'll do it. I'm a hard worker. But I had my boss at the time, he was, you know, I was at such a bottom, right? I was such a loser, and I just loved that he kind of was a boss, right? I was so deprived of any real good, responsible people in my life that when my boss, you know, came in my life, I just wanted to be good in his eyes. And, you know, I took on that career. I took on these jobs doing these things that most normal people that aren't a people pleaser or haven't spent a good portion of their life with their own head up their ass would have said no to. So a lot of the things that my first marriage, you know, my first career, all in early recovery, but all really a big fat lie. I, you know, no disrespect to this person, but I wasn't a big fan. I grabbed onto her because I had had my heart broken, and that was what I did. I basically just, like, took her hostage. And, you know, it'd be years later, I would drink and all that, but, you know, that was a lie. My first career in the golf course industry, I hated that job, but I wanted to please people. And so the point is that when I started getting sober and started to kind of work my way out of it, I was like, what is it that I like? Like, honestly, what is it that I want to do? What are my interests? And, you know, it's kind of weird, right? It's kind of weird. And I think that this happens to everybody that has spent some time under the influence. And then finally, for whatever reason, they start to get sober and they start thinking, you know, what is my role in life now? Who am I? And It's kind of cool. And the one thing early on that I learned, and with the help of other people, but like, as long as I'm not drinking and drugging, I can do anything I want, right? I can try anything I want. The biggest reason that I didn't do a lot of the things that I wanted to do is because I was high and drunk. High and drunk. You know, I could have had a great career in advertising business, and arts and advertising. I was big into arts and advertising. Went to school for it. And I was so high and drunk, I couldn't show up. My mind wasn't right. It wasn't fair to the school. Wasn't fair to my parents, you know. But that could have been a great career. I mean, I have no regrets. You know, one of the things I always tell my kids is, I'm like, whatever it is you do, man, make sure you love it. Because I spent a long time in my life doing a lot of things I didn't really love. And there's nothing worse than doing something or agreeing to something because you're a people pleaser. And then once that person, like, walks away and the ability to please them is over, you're just stuck with that shitty job. And that is no fun. But, you know, it's a time. It takes time. And I was watching, I think it was a Pat McAfee show, and he had a guy on there. Oh, he had a guy. Oh my God. I don't know his name. I'll try to find it and put it in the description, but he was a football player, and he ended up becoming a neurosurgeon. He's really taken advantage of life and done the most for himself. But his message was, you know, it was basically, you know, try to do 2% better every day. And the point was, is that, you know, if I say I want to finish these steps in a week, if I want to be sober, the king of sober, if I set goals that are untouchable, not doable, unreachable, then I'm just going to be disappointed. And then I start to talk into my head and start saying, listen, you're no good. And his idea was, listen, just take the day and try to improve your life. He said 2%, 1%, 2%. He goes, the number really there's nothing real magical about the number. The point was, is find a little increment and try to improve yourself a little bit every day. And, you know, I remember, I think it's in the appendix of the big book or the 12 and 12, one of them, but there's a, you know, the question of spirituality and a spiritual awakening. And I think in the appendix, it says, you know, it happens very slowly. You know, you may not feel like you've had a spiritual awakening, but try to feel or try to look back to where you had just started, where you had just heard the term, right, and how far away you were from a spiritual awakening, and then where you are as of today. And, you know, maybe it's not where you had imagined it, but has it gotten better, right? And I know for me, the spiritual awakening thing was this whole long process, and it was really consumed by me wanting something, which was a relationship with a higher power. And so it was all about serving me. And when that starts happening, I'm not available to see the real truth of the spiritual awakening, which is really what I feel, for me, how it worked was, it was the removal of other shit, right? It was the removal of self. It was a removal of self-centered fear. It was the removal of just all these little things out of my life. Because, you know, if we're living a life of self, we're victims. You know, it's our life. A life of self is what I want and what I'm getting, right? Or what I want and what I'm not getting. So you're either a person that wants something, and, you know, when I was living that life, a lot of the things I wanted, I did not get, right? They were unreasonable requests. And so I've lived a lot of disappointment. But, you know, I was always not getting what I wanted. And so I was a victim. Didn't get that. Didn't get that. And until I could get an idea of how that is, and I'm still not perfect. I still, you know, I'm still self-centered. And I'll always be that way. But I'm definitely recognizing it, and I'm getting better. But, you know, early on, it was just constant disappointment. And until I could start to understand that and start to work on that, I started to... and I've said this before, I get to have a relationship. It's not I have to. As soon as I have to, I'm set up for disappointment. I'm set up for failure. But when I get to, I'm like, all right, I get to. So this happens when it happens. It's a gift. It isn't a requirement. It isn't a demand. And when I get to, then I stopped asking and I just recognized. And when I started recognizing, I started to feel like a relationship with the higher power started to happen. And, you know, it's like wanting to go meet with somebody, have a meeting with somebody, and then there's a secretary. Well, the secretary is self. And as long as that secretary was sitting there, I wasn't getting to the spiritual awakening. And nothing, you know, no offense to secretaries, but I'm just using it as an idea of how, you know, until I can get through this one thing, until I can understand that I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility and recognize that for what it is and start creating new habits of a person that's trying to live like that. And, for me, it started with prayer. You know, stop asking. Stop asking for things. It's the attempt, not the outcome. My whole life has been about the outcome. Fucking attempt. I just wanted what I wanted, and I wanted someone to save my ass. So that's how I would ask. Dad, can you help me? Dear Lord, can you help me? Mom, can you help me? Friends, can you help me? No, 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 no. Victim, 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 victim. God damn, I can't believe it. Can't believe they won't help me. It's ridiculous. And so it started with just prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for keeping me another day sober. Watch over us tonight as we sleep. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. That used to be my first prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. And, you know, I like to think that I didn't ask for anything, but now just saying that I realize that, you know, watch over us as we sleep. So I guess I am making a small request. I'm not saying protect us. I'm just saying keep an eye on us, Lord. But it was these new beginnings, these new selfless habits that I had to start doing, and praying was one of them because I was a fix me kind of prayer guy. And when that didn't happen, because, you know, it's like fishing in a lake with no freaking fish. How long do you keep fishing there? It's the same way with my prayers of requests. They didn't ever come true. So as soon as they didn't come true, I basically ended the relationship. So if I'm going to have a relationship, I'm going to have to completely appreciate the lake and a lot less of the fish, right? I have to come in and say, hey, I just want to just let you know that I appreciate you. And, and I'm just letting you know. And, you know, and I've shared my prayer that I use today. My shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And this is what my kids and I use. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. Me recognizing that I can't take it all on. And I'm just turning it over to the Lord. And the Lord will fix what parts he wants or none at all. But that position in turn creates a lot of freedom. And I'm very grateful for that. Let's see. Should I try to read a daily reflections, even though I already read just for today? How much? Let's see here. Daily reflections. Today is Friday. Probably going to a meeting tonight. That'll be fun. Oh, here we go. June 24th, a spiritual kindergarten. We are only operating a spiritual kindergarten in which people are enabled to get over drinking and find the grace to go on living to better effects. We are only operating a spiritual kindergarten in which people are enabled to get over drinking and find the grace to go on living a better life or living to better effect. I guess what that's saying is that, you know, early spirituality is basically like being a little kid in a kindergarten, I guess. And that's as Bill sees it, page 95. When I came to AA, I was run down by the bottle and wanted to lose the obsession to drink. But I didn't really know how to do that. I decided to stick around long enough to find out from all the ones who went before me. All of a sudden, I was thinking about God. I was told to get a higher power, and I had no idea what one looked like. I found out there are many higher powers. I was told to find God as I understand him. And there was no doctrine of the Godhead in AA. I found what worked for me and then asked that power to restore my sanity. The obsession to drink was removed, and one day at a time my life went on, and I learned how to live sober. Yeah, you know, I think there's just a lot of surrender in there and a lot of, willingness. And, you know, that I think surrendering, waving the white flag, having willingness to just to follow a couple simple suggestions, right? You know, it is, I think that is a gift from God. And, you know, over time we start to recognize that. We start saying, wow, man, I just got up and what a gift, right? What a gift. And but anyway, I hope everyone's having a great day, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.